Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 198, episode 5 of
Dear Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Friday, August 20th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. All in All, it's just another kick in the balls. That is courtesy of Pink Floyd, and I feel like a more accurate description of our current post-apocalyptic landscape. I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
With vaccinations, you'll survive with your life. But you gotta be smart about it. Inoculations will give you life.
Okay, that's Usher. You don't have to call, but talking about vaccines, who knew Usher was doing the right thing with vaccinations at his Vegas show? Shout out to me, again, right there, doing some Usher vaccine adjacent AKAs.
The old Ursh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't mention the fact that it's going to make my semen less valuable on the open market.
We'll debate that later on in the show.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No. I'm just saying, don't leave out the most important part of the story.
Yeah.
Miles, before we get to
spunk ain't junk, folks.
Before we get to our guest, we gotta let him know. 5 days. T-minus 5 days. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. for all you six speed freaks on the East Coast. We are bringing you the year 2000 and a live streaming audio visual extravaganza.
Interactive.
We'll riff on ridiculous pictures. We'll dance to ridiculous music. We'll
are you gonna dance?
Talk about... Oh, hell yeah, dance, dude. Bull. I know. I keep saying that, and I'm definitely not going to dance.
Whenever I see you say that, I'm like, I'm going to make this man fucking dance.
Dance. We'll talk. I kept saying we were going to talk about Shrek. That was 2001. What the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Instead, we're going to be talking about Tom Hanks's pee fetish. That's this show.
Yeah.
Because this was the year that it came to its climactic culmination in both Castaway and The Green Mile.
Some painful peeing.
We might even answer some of your questions.
I mean, we will. We will. Because we're going to have a chat. Yeah, we'll definitely. And you can go off in the chat. We'll ask questions. We'll take questions. Join us, Chris Crofton, super producer, Chris Anna Hosnier. We're going to be in the building. Go to momenthouse.com/The Daily Zeitgeist. And don't worry if you can't watch it live. If you buy your ticket, you will be able to watch it on demand.
Yeah, yeah.
Up to a week later. So, yeah, get it in.
Bang, bang. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious writer, comedian, and podcaster whose byline has appeared in GQ and The Ringer, among others. He is the senior film and culture writer at Up Rocks and the founder of Film Drunk, the Frontcast, and the wonderful Sopranos podcast, Pod Yourself a Gun. Please welcome the hilarious and talented Vince Mancini!
Guess who just got back today? Oh, was I not forced to do the singing like you guys? Whoa. I didn't prepare a parody, but I was right
sounded
there.
Like you
the
were prepared.
Vince is back in town.
Mm, that's right.
That was great, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm just, you know, breathing in a lot of wildfire smoke and hacking up phlegm balls. It's great.
Yeah.
It's
real
yeah.
fun. Taking wild hits of forest ash.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gave me a headache yesterday. I was like, wait, is it my allergies? I'm like, no, it's the wildfire headaches I get.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? You know how they put like fluoride in the water to keep our teeth nice and white? I feel like they should put like nicotine in the pine trees. That way, like when
chill us out a little bit.
Yeah. When the wildfires happen and then at least it's like, you know, we get a little cigarette high off of it.
Right. I do wonder, like, is there a THC content to the air in Los Angeles these days just because of all the weed farms that are burning up in Northern California?
I think like eighth grade me would have been like, dude, I bet if we drive close enough, like we get so high just from breathing the air. I don't know. I doubt it.
Wouldn't be enough for you to notice, Miles, but if I start having panic attacks and thinking everybody's talking about me, I'll let y'all know. That'll probably be a good sign that I'm getting a little bit of a contact.
All right. I'll let you know. Or let me know.
All right, Vince, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to check in with Floyd Ray Roseberry. I mean, that is the most MAGA name possible. I don't think you could fucking workshop that any better. That's the dude who was live streaming his standoff with Capitol Police outside of the Library of Congress with his in his pickup and with his finger on a detonator.
Wow.
Just another little surreal scene from this modern world of ours. We're going to talk about anti-vax sperm. It's the new gold.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for a long time, but finally the world has caught up. We will talk about the FAA is having to, you know, deal with airplane passengers in a new way where things have just gone too far, it seems like. So they have updated their... I don't know, what is it, their bill of passenger, like, bill of rights or something?
No, I mean, they've announced that they just, they're like, oh, we've given out $1 million in fines already for people around on planes. And we've done it faster than ever before.
Congrats.
So,
America.
We'll go into some of the fines and that everyone's just acting like a feral cocaine hog on an airplane now.
We'll talk about Fox News vaccination. They're about to have to reveal their vaccination status. We'll talk about the Canadian election. We'll talk about that new Jeopardy host. We're getting new details of what that search in quotes looked like and what kind of dude he is. All of that, plenty more. But first, Vince, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I recently searched Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I wanted to know what he looked like, you know, kid from Home Improvement. Yeah.
That's a common search, actually. I think we've had that before.
So you were looking for present day JTT?
Yeah, my stepson was watching an old movie with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and I wanted to know what he looked like now. And I got, like, I guess he had been photographed for the first time in like 8 years. Recently, and it was it didn't tell me much. It was just him in a hat and some glasses vaping while he walked a couple poodles.
Oh, wow. Poodles. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn. That picture does make me feel old.
Yeah.
I got to see this now. Wait.
He's wearing a Mets hat.
I mean, it's a double-edged sword because it's like you don't want to be a public figure anymore, which I respect. But then like when you get photographed once every 8 years, every time people are like, oh, my God, he's aged.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Well, yeah.
His kick and jean game are offensive. Those New Balances are on tight, my guy. Wow.
Yeah, he's got the beat up old New Balances. Are those boot cut jeans? I guess those are more straight leg jeans.
He knows better, but they're still baggy as fuck.
No, I was saying, like, is he cool? Does he have bootleg jeans like the coolest among us do?
Are those cool now? Are those cool again?
Don't listen to him. Don't. Yeah. This guy's upside down. He bought a
I'm upside fucking, down on some bootleg jeans, man. Yeah.
He bought a whole shipping container. Fools. He's like,
heavily
dude,
leveraged.
It was only 70 grand for this whole shipping container packed to the gills with boot cut Lee jeans.
Oh, man. So cool, though, because, you know. You got to let them know. Tight up top.
I'm still not convinced. You're not going to convince people with that very low energy pitch, Jack. Oh, man. You're sick.
Vince, what is something you think is overrated?
I mean, this is an easy one. I don't know if someone's done this yet, but I mean, the Afghan National Army.
You weren't impressed?
Yeah, a bit of a paper tiger there, seems like.
Yeah, well, you know, what a fuck. I mean, right now, there's people... They're reclaiming parts of the country. So this thing is just all over the place. That whole thing was just so wild. Like, along with that, I mean, talk about the U.S. military, like, being completely overrated after that as well. Like, when you're thinking, oh, yeah, they're fine. This thing is unwinnable and was just a big old military, you know, fire sale / spendapalooza. And then we get this now. Yeah.
Yeah. And did we pay any of the people in the Afghan National Army? I feel like it was a lot of, you don't want to pay them because then they'll get lazy.
I thought there was like pallets of money going around to warlords kind of thing.
Well, that was how they were trying to get people to agree to the, you know, like new policies of this government. And it was just sort of basically like, what if we give you money to agree? And they're like, yeah, great. And that's just not a sustainable way of doing things.
Right.
As podcasters.
And then we're like, why are these people so corrupt? We paid them to do what we wanted. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. And that's why, like, I think everyone now who's looking at it, who before wasn't like, this is an absolute waste, is like, wait, it was what? Oh, well, that sounds like an absolute mess. Like, yeah, it was.
What's something you think is underrated, Vince?
I mean, on that note, I got to go with the Taliban. You know, they just seem like they wanted it more. Had a lot of
just
grit
out there. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, they had to.
Going for all, getting all the loose balls. Yeah.
Taking out the lunch pail and going to work, you know?
They're just grinders. Like, I've always said that about the Taliban.
Y'all sound like Donald Trump. He said, like, yeah, they're great negotiators. He was saying he was bigging up the Taliban.
Uh-huh.
But again, this is, I think, and that's why I think you saw a lot of conservatives who are like suddenly like team Taliban all of a sudden. And you're like, what the fuck is...
Yeah, they kind of... I saw some right-wing guy tweet about how, you know, the Taliban is pro-abortion and anti all these liberal things. And he was like, why were we on the other side again? And it was like, yeah, I mean, we've been calling you guys the American Taliban for like 10, 20 years now. It's weird that you just noticed the similarity.
Oof. Right. Yeah. They're like, oh, you were right. Y'all weren't kidding. Okay. Well, speaking of the American Taliban, let's get to this gentleman by the name of Floyd Ray Roseberry, just kind of announcing himself on the scene in a big way yesterday morning by pulling his pickup on the front doorstep of the Library of Congress with a detonator and live streaming his negotiations with Capitol Police. Just a nice little snapshot of like what we got festering just below the surface in the right wing portions, the right wing echo chambers of the country. Did you guys catch any of his commentary?
No, I didn't watch it. I saw someone who had a written description of the main points of his live stream.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is, you know, This seems like a natural extension after January 6th of people who don't see any sort of repercussions for doing shit like this, and that this is a way to do something. But this guy it seemed like he wasn't even clear on what he wanted, aside from saying, I want to speak to Joe Biden, but he can resign. I also don't want to harm anyone.
He said he wants to talk to Samson. That's what I heard.
Yeah, exactly. He really came to speak to the manager of DC in the weirdest fucking way. Yeah. And it was just, it's frightening. On some level, I'm like, this is all, I mean, this dude's pump faking or whatever, but also fuck. Like, this is so real now that this is, you can tell by the way the language he's using. He's trying to say, like, some of you are calling yourselves patriots, but you're golfing and doing this other stuff. We need to do shit. Fuck.
It seems like the official ideology of, like, the Trumpist right is incoherent rage now. And so, like, every time one of them gets up to shout, it's just like a stream of consciousness, like set of grievances. And I'm curious how this negotiation goes, because I haven't heard what he wants yet, but I'm sure it's super, super coherent.
Well, right now, right, he gave it up.
Yeah, they did take him into custody at the end of it, so he didn't blow anything up and ultimately got whatever he was looking for. So, I mean, he's probably in a meeting with Joe Biden right now. No word on how those negotiations are going, but we'll see. You know,
probably just his sizzle reel for like a Newsmax show that he will do from prison.
Yeah, yeah, that's the main thing that we all want, is just a media career.
But I mean, with all jokes aside, you can tell the way this guy's talking, this isn't going to stop. And yeah, no. It's just going to get worse. You know what I mean? And like, I, as much as I'm like, I'm also like, it's, you know, everything is unfolding in a way that seems very predictable, where there's still these people who call themselves quote unquote patriots who are trying to rally each other and embolden each other. And I'm curious to understand what the end game is, like, in terms of what this, I don't know, like what domestic terror problem and how that's going to play out and ultimately be settled or not or embraced. It's a lot going on. Then there was another bomb scare in like Times Square too at the same time, and then there was a truck on like the Bay Bridge that was like on fire. There was a fucking wild morning.
Yeah Our understanding of what like liberty and all the things that we talk about, our understanding of what that means gets like narrower and narrower and more scattered, to the point where it's just like, well, I ain't putting on no mask, man. This is America, and if you ask me to do that, I'm just a patriot.
Liberty is me being able to do whatever I want in this moment right now, regardless of consequences. Seems to be the going definition in some circles.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's just the world is painful right now, and we've got a lot of people who are making a lot of money giving people convenient scapegoats and lies and targets. And I don't know how it's going to get better before it gets worse.
Because he even said something about his health care, you know, and like not getting able to get like shots for his back. I don't know if it's on the cortisone or whatever, but something. And like, you realize too that like so many people are feeling the squeeze of how fucked up and just inhumane this country is, but people are get squeezed through these media machines and come out the other side thinking like, oh, it's because of this, that, and the other thing that is the reason why my life experience is like this. And yeah, and then it just manifests into this real world nightmare shit.
Yeah, they're all mad about like real shit, and then it just gets who they blame gets really scattered and weird. It's like, oh man, I can't get the shots I need, and it's like, oh, is it because you don't have healthcare? It's like, no, it's because like immigrants and maskers and stuff. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, I mean, sure.
But I mean, that's the brilliance of how these like the media apparatus machines are working to keep people on a steady diet of misinformation, to just be like, you're always going to be close enough to the problem, but not quite to begin to like move in a direction that's constructive.
Yeah. It's the kind of natural outcome of a world where there's not really a media. There's like a bunch of machines feeding people content just based on what's going to keep them, quote, engaged the most. Yeah. And so it's just a, you know, whatever they want to hear. Like the reality becomes a, you know, self-fulfilling, it just generates from whatever they want to hear is what reality becomes.
Yeah, VCs ruined the internet first, and then now they're ruining the actual world.
So, yeah.
It's fun.
It is. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And let's talk some anti-vax sperm. Sounds like in online communities, there's a new conspiracy theory bubbling up. That's kind of a gross way of putting it, but essentially...
Your words.
Anti-vax guys are saying their sperm will become one of the most in-demand substances on the planet because those of us who got suckered into taking the vaccine are now going to be sterilized. I think that's a big part of the anti-vax.
If there's many things.
Texas
theory.
Gold, they called it.
Yeah.
Oh, Texas tea.
Texas Pearl.
Yeah. They say essentially the logic. This is just a confluence of so many weird things. But the logic is that because the vaccine is experimental, that their fears about, you know, like what it means because it's experimental and unsafe and like the great herd thinning of the, you know, elite, the global elite, that essentially their fears will play out in this way that the vaccinated population just falls apart because everyone is poisoned. And then those that want healthy offspring are going to be breaking down the doors of unvaccinated men. And it's just going to be raining. And like all conspiracy theories, this is a combination of a couple things that are true along with some total bullshit, but their red string theory shit doesn't even come close to being related in any significant way, but it's just enough, like, you could put three articles in front of someone and be like, and this is the theory. So the first part is, they think the Red Cross is asking for unvaccinated blood. They're saying the Red Cross says unvaccinated blood high in demand, and also turning away vaccinated donors. Not true at all. Absolute horseshit. There's nothing even remotely close to this statement being true.
But they want it to be true.
They want it
to
be true.
Like with Cliff, Floyd, Ray, Roseberry, it's, you know, whatever they want to be true creates, it just becomes the reality.
Then the next part is that sperm banks apparently have like low reserves at the moment. That is true. But all of them say it's because of COVID. It's just slowed down donations. It's not because of anything else going on. It's just because it's a pandemic. So not everyone's priority is to go on down to the sperm bank for a donation at the moment. Then you have the like their subreddit of like Wall Street Bets vibes that has people on some fucked up monetary speculation kick. So they're like, okay, man, this is like the new game stonks. AMC shit,
to the moon.
But my cum, and that's
my cum.
I'm long
on
wing nut jizz. I'm short on coal.
Right. So you see, like, there's this in this Vice article, they say that there's a screenshot from like this headline of an article from a crypto blog that says, quote, "Is unvaccinated sperm really the next Bitcoin?" And that is being passed around, no context. Even though if you read the article, the answer is no.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a very, very odd thing. You look at some of the comments and say, mark my words, that unvaccinated sperm and blood will be in high commodity in a few months to a year. Okay. But yeah, and then the other thing is, the irony here is that a lot of studies have shown that COVID has been detected in penile and testicular tissues, as well as sperm. And some have even found it could possibly lead to erectile dysfunction and infertility if you have COVID. But that's, again, they take a lot of the stuff that you see as research into those things as causation or correlation to be like, yeah, you know, I mean, they're looking into it. So it must be that vaccinated sperm could be poison.
Well, I feel like every new thing, like the go-to conspiracy is that the soy is going to make me gay, ain't it? Or, you know, the vaccine is like, oh, it's about my dick again. And
it's about my dick again.
It's the go-to thing. It's like, you know.
I mean, yeah, who'd have thought that the way into a toxic man's heart is to threaten their peepees? And then immediately they're on board to be like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Threaten our nation's most vital resource, which is, you know, our masculinity.
I've heard PSAs and seen some online that are like with doctors sort of going that route to be like, you should get vaccinated because COVID could potentially give you erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So come on,
think about your peepee.
Yeah. And like they were really leaning into the like, hey, man, peepee care, but get the vaccination. But yeah, this is, you know, the always checking in with what the conspiracies are, because first it was like they were wearing masks because they were worried about getting COVID from vaccinated people. And now we're at a place where the sperm is gold.
I just like it's about my dick again as like a just standard, like somebody reviewing their thoughts. It's about my dick again.
Isn't
or like
it?
Going to a therapist and being like,
what?
I had another dream. It's about my dick again.
Anyways. So, yeah, I mean, you know, hodl that sperm, as they say on Reddit. Hold on for dear life. So,
that's what that is.
Yeah.
Hodl.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
So is like Sting going to be our new king? He's just holding on to his sperm forever.
Right.
I don't know. This is where we're at now, where sperm could be the new crypto, or at least we have people really mentally, emotionally invested in that idea.
They should go mine for it. They should do some jizz coin mining.
Watch. Someone's going to start that as a joke, like jizz coin, and then let the internet do its thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about the FAA. They recently announced that they've reached a new milestone in record time after going through 3,889 reported incidents. They've now charged people with fines that have gone over $1 million. Mm-hmm. So I think that we should just take this as a report card and say congratulations to America. We did it. We killing did it.
Absolutely no one knows how to act. Everyone is on some other about to snap type energy, no matter what. Yeah, there's like a sort of collection of some of the fines that have been doled out. And these aren't just like little slaps on the wrist. Some people are like $45,000 fine against a passenger in May of this year because someone was allegedly throwing objects, including his carrying on luggage, at other passengers, refusing to stay seated, lying on the floor in the aisle, refusing to get up, then grabbing a flight attendant by the ankles and putting his head up her skirt. The passenger was placed in flex cuffs and the flight made an emergency landing in Virginia. Another one is $42,000 for a passenger in May on JetBlue from a flight from Queens to San Francisco, allegedly interfering with crew members, failing to comply with the face mask mandate, making non-consensual physical contact with another passenger, throwing a playing card at a passenger and threatening him with physical harm, making stabbing gestures towards certain passengers, and snorting what appeared to be cocaine from a plastic bag, which the cabin crew confiscated. The passenger became increasingly agitated, and the crew equipped themselves with flex cuffs and ice mallets to ensure the safety of the flight. If his behavior worsened, they had to divert to Minneapolis.
Ice mallets sounds like a like Marvel Universe weapon. I'm assuming it's just mallets to break up the ice. But
yeah, it's the little ones because when they get the bags of ice on board, you gotta
It used to be an ice pick, but you can't use that anymore because it's a weapon, I guess.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
Do they have whenever ice somebody's picks like on the flight?
I mean, I don't know, but I assume that's why I've never heard of an ice mallet. I assume right. That's just the thing that they had to invent for a plane.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, if you're breaking up ice, well, I don't know why you would have to break up ice at your house, but usually you'd use, like, something like an ice pick, right? You don't use, like, a meat tenderizer.
What's it for? Like, isn't that an ice pick, like, old school? Like, if you just got a block of ice, you know, like, if,
yeah.
And you're just like, yeah. Hey, you want to.
Just gets in there and chips it apart.
And you're like, hey, you want a cold scotch on the rocks? And, like, and you're just like putting the fragments in a glass. I don't, ice experts, let me know how this works. But whenever I get a bag of ice, you just slam it on the ground.
Yeah, but I think if you're a real deal bartender mixologist, I think yes. You still have to, you know, pick your own ice. Like you have to have like bespoke ice cube shapes.
Right.
Right. Of course you do.
The other thing, another fine was over $30,000 for someone in January. Allegedly assaulting passengers around him because someone in his row would not change seats to accommodate his travel partner. He told his travel partner he would need to bail him out of jail for the physically violent crimes he threatened to commit. The captain returned the flight to the gate where law enforcement met the passenger. Southwest banned him from flying. And then it says the FAA does not put passengers on no-fly lists. So
Whenever that happens on my plane, I like to turn to the guy next to me and go, I wonder which vaccine he got.
Yeah. I mean, like this, I feel like this stuff is just a huge indicator for how angry, stressed, depressed, how little fucks people give at the moment. It's a little jarring, you know, like to the point where the last couple times I was on a plane, I was bracing myself for shit to kick off. I'm like, please, like, mm-hmm. If I hear someone like laugh loudly, I'm like, oh God, they're something about to go down.
Well, we keep adding more and more rules to plane travel while offering less and less service. So it's just like you get in the airport and you're immediately having to do the whole like TSA exam, and now it's like, you know, have your mask on at all times and this and that. And then meanwhile, like, flights are like canceled, delayed. People are spending like, you know, 3 days on an airport, and then you shove them into a plane after all that. Like, yeah, it's going to be some bad stuff happening.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the airlines are understaffed as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had to change a flight and spent 5 hours on hold. Five hours. Like, I have the screen cap because we were like, wow, this is record. We were just like doing it as a bit after a while. Mm-hmm. We were like, there's no way they're gonna like come on and like help us. And then they did. They ultimately came on and they were super helpful and rebooked our flight for us. But literally 5 hours of hold time. And so I have another theory here that because aren't flights not serving drinks right now? Like
some
during
aren't
in flight.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this is people realizing they're not going to be able to order drinks on the flight and like overshooting the mark when they get drunk before the flight. And like, so they're just extra extremely, because this all seems like shit that I would have done when I was blacked out at various points.
Hold on. You would have stuck your head up a flight attendant's skirt on an airplane?
No, I guess not all of this stuff.
Okay. But you would have snorted cocaine out of a bag.
Doing drugs in the open. Yeah. I feel like that one felt like, oh no, I could.
Oh no. What's the date on this? 2021. Thank God.
Okay. Yeah. It's you got a pregame, and then sometimes you pregame a little too much. And,
yeah.
And it ruins the actual game.
Because some of the fines are also for people drinking outside alcohol on the plane, like they're bringing it on board and things like that. I mean, it's a combination of things. But in general, I think there's also this like thing when we were just reopening and things like that meant we're feral. Some of us are just out here wild, you know, like,
yeah, I mean,
I got in trouble at Staples Center. You know what I mean? Because I was too wicked against the Suns in the playoff game. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, remember they took my name down and shit? Because I was screaming. They're like, hey, man, you can't be screaming shit like this from the stands. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. It was 2020. I'm having a hard time. And I decided to get cathartic at the Laker game.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, once you just like marinate in your own house for about a year while all the news is like, you know, teaching you different ways to hate each other. Mm-hmm. Turns out once you stick them back together,
right?
Yeah, it's not a great situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Oof. Yeah.
Have y'all seen anything on flights? I know DJ Daniel was telling me he saw something recently when he was coming back. Like his flight took a minute to get to the gate because someone was wilding out. But I don't know if have y'all encountered unruly flights.
I haven't been able to fly. My wife is very pregnant. So our last trip, we had to drive to Montana. So we did it as a road trip. And then our in-laws were taking a flight on the way back, and the flight got delayed like 3 or 4 times in the space of drive. I mean, it was still a faster drive than it was a flight, but something about like knowing that you're going to do that drive seems preferable to, you know, having the goalpost pushed back over and over while you're just sitting in an airport somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. This dude I was sitting next to, like, shit his pants, was, like, throwing food all over the place, you know, punched me. It was my 3-year-old, but it was still a pretty, pretty dynamic performance by him.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be on the no-fly list, God willing, after that.
I know, seriously. But, yeah, it's I have a hard time noticing anybody else when I'm traveling with a 3-year-old. It's just head down.
Every flight is chaos.
Apologizing to people. Yeah. I mean, he's actually not that bad, but.
Yeah. Do you ever give is that normal where people like are like, I have a baby. Here's apology gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm preempting the chaos.
Earplugs. Yeah. Yeah. We usually try and like make contact with the people around us. And sometimes they're just like, why are you talking to me? And sometimes they're like, oh, I get it. You know,
yeah, no worries.
I have a kid or I have a nephew. And yeah, it's good just to like have, because otherwise you just feel like if there's silence in the internet, like you haven't interacted with them, you're just assuming the absolute worst about how they feel about things. So yeah, it's always good to just like kind of make brief contact.
That becomes like a new, like, little bit of decorum from anti-maskers who are on flights, like, hi, just so you know, I'm gonna refuse to wear a mask, so it may delay. I'm really sorry. Here's some gift cards,
right?
But it's just my freedom, and I understand that's probably gonna inconvenience you, and that's not fair to you. But here, just please take these earplugs and these flex cuffs. And
my family, just we can't weather the price drop on my semen, right. So I'm gonna have
to. It's important to me that my semen goes for top dollar, in the year 2022. So, well, let's talk Fox News real quick, because they are going to have to announce their vaccine status, probably just internally, right? Like, we're not going to get to know their vaccine status, are we?
No, I mean,
no,
but,
man, HIPAA laws.
Yeah, hippopotamus is going to protect them. And I'm sure, look, you know what's going to happen. Somebody there is going to leak this shit and then it'll be all on wax. I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. But that seems like that's what could happen to take the wind out of some people's sails. Maybe it'll get, I don't know. Look, but here's the thing that's been passed around. If you worked at Fox, they got this real nice alert. It says, "Dear colleagues, as all of you know, the health and safety of our employees has been our priority at Fox News Media since the start of the global pandemic 17 months ago. Whether at work or at home, the COVID-19 pandemic has had a tremendous impact on all of our lives. Here are some of the steps we are currently taking given the recent rise in COVID cases nationwide and the spread of the Delta variant. One, we have asked all," and it's like underlined, "employees, whether on site as part of our essential workforce or working remotely, to upload their vaccination status into Workday." That's how I know this shit's real. They just said, "And please put it in Workday." And then it's like, "This is being done for space planning and blah, blah, blah." It says all employees must enter their status in bold no later than today, August 17th, by the close of business. So that's a little, that's interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, "Huh, that's not what's on the air, though."
Right. Hmm. Yeah, what are they doing it just to make sure that people aren't falling for this vax bullshit? You think that's what's going on? Because I could actually see the person leaking it being either, you know, somebody who's like, haha, Tucker Carlson sucks and I'm going to show that he's full of shit. Mm-hmm. But I could also see somebody leaking it because they're like, they betrayed us by getting the vaccine type shit. So either way, I don't care why you're doing it. Please leak this information.
It's probably the anti-vax people don't want to be around all those vaxxed employees, and they're worried about
what'll do their sperm.
Morgellons or whatever they're worried about.
Yeah. Larry Kudlow is like, "I can't do it. Like, I can't be around people like that. Just I'm all in on cum futures."
But is Fox News even that popular anymore? It feels like it's kind of like diet soda to the real hardcore Q.
Yeah, I mean, they're still doing numbers. They have been, you know, people have been migrating to Newsmax and OAN, but it still seems like it's still part of your complete and balanced right wing diet. Is you got to have your vegetables in the form of Fox News, I guess, before you get to the sweets of Newsmax and Mike Lindell.
But you got to smuggle in a little Ziploc of OAN in your underwear just to get that hit.
Just snort it in the flight and then fight all the passengers. But I mean, it's funny
because been there.
They clearly know, right? Fox News clearly knows as a business that they can only way to operate safely is to do this because they know that COVID is serious shit.
Right.
But then at the same time, it's like, well, we just want to make this place as safe as possible for our goons to go on camera and then be like, "It's nothing. Don't worry about it. Fuck Joe Biden and vaccines. Just go out there and be free." Because we know what the people want because we're all in Manhattan. We know what Red America is thinking. It's like, the fuck is this?
Hey, but they're in enemy territory, you know? They're just plotting from behind the lines. Mm. I don't know. It seems like Fox's ratings are still pretty dominant, but we're just like not really paying attention. But they're just as popular as ever. And then you also have the OANN and shit like that.
Yeah. And then they're in weird, like, but it's funny because all of those networks have like doublespeak going on where like some people will be like, "No, like it's serious." And then like 20 minutes later, they're like telling you like it's going to turn your arms to like lizard tails and who knows what the fuck.
Yeah. So I did develop grayscale after I got the vaccine, but that's just to be expected.
Trying to attack people in a boat, you know?
Is that why your hand was wrapped in that rag? I was like, what happened?
Trying to keep that on the low, but a little grayscale. Never hurt anyone.
Have you tried sacrificing your child to the fire god?
Oh, yeah. That's the one that punches you and poops everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. My grayscale consultant has recommended that. And we're just kind of looking at various options. Let's talk Canadian election real quick.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
North of the border.
It's
Let's
Canadian
go.
Canadian election coverage. The thing that the Zeit Gang has been clamoring for. This is just, it's always interesting. It's like finding out about the laws of physics on another planet. It's like, this is like, they can, for instance, call a snap election. Mm-hmm. So Justin Trudeau just was basically like, "Hey, we're having an election on September 20th because he thought he would regain a majority in the House of Commons. So it's like an impromptu election.
What a dumb system. It's like they don't even have like some right-wing talk show host to spend millions of dollars making a new election. They can just call it. That's so dumb.
Snap election, dissolving parliament. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it. Let's go. It was supposed to be October 2023. So we're going off 2 years, 1 month early. Yeah, that's how math works. Mm-hmm. The Conservative Party tweeted out an ad using a Jib Jab animation from the year 2004. It's very wild. They basically just like copy pasted Trudeau's face onto Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka to be like, he's complaining. He's a complainer. And people are just pissed at Trudeau for calling an election at all. Like, it seems like the worst thing that he did was call this election.
I love how polite even the attack ads are in Canada. Like, I remember when I was in Toronto when this election, in the lead up to the election, when Trudeau got elected, and like the attack ads on him were just people in bars and like other places were being like, we just don't think he's experienced enough. And that was like,
I don't care for the vicious attack ad.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think he has the right ideas to be qualified, to be quite honest with you. And here it's like, he's a fucking demon who eats fucking puppies. It's like, wow.
I think the slogan was, he's just not ready. So it was just a bunch of people being like, I just don't think he's ready.
Wow.
And which like leaves the possibility. It's like, I might consider him if he was ready, but he's just not. So I guess I'll be voting conservative this year. Yeah. And the other thing is like, to your point of like, why are you calling an election right now? Because it's a very... like you're saying, there's another wave of COVID happening because the Delta variant is also making its way through Canada. And a lot of people are like, this isn't the right time. Like, it just shows a disconnect between the politicians who are like, well, I know Trudeau's sort of logic is, I did a great job with COVID. So maybe if I call a snap election, they'll come back, they'll help vote Liberal and give me a majority. And then that'll help me out. Without realizing people are fucking just exhausted and drained. And then you want them to vote in person during another wave of the pandemic. And they're also like, vote by mail isn't a really popular thing in Canada either. So it seems like a bit.
You have to vote by moose.
Oh boy, there it is.
Hey, all right.
But yeah, just.
Yeah. And they're saying like his numbers aren't even like strong. Like they think that he's probably going to get the same, like he won't even get the thing he was hoping for
right
at this point. So shout out to Trudeau, kind of a cell phone. It seems like this reminds me a little bit of like the Brexit thing where they were like, okay, let's do the sensible thing and hurry up and get this over with. And then turns out people aren't as rational as the Liberals think they're going to be.
I've made a terrible mistake. Exactly. But yeah, a ton of money to have an election and then just kind of be like, oh, I got the same votes, huh? Fuck. All right. Well, I guess they don't like me as much as I thought.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about important stuff like the new host of Jeopardy.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And we talked last week about how the search for a new Jeopardy host ended with the executive producer of the show. So, like, I just remember, like, when we first heard that this dude, the guy who was the EP of Jeopardy, was, like, basically considering himself as a candidate to replace Alex Trebek. And, like, That was the moment, like, it seemed so, like, embarrassing and self-serving and fraudulent, like, mm-hmm. But then, like, many news stories in the modern era just, like, hung around for us to get used to the awkwardness and, like, stench of it enough for it not to seem that strange. And so by the time, and then also by the time he announced that he was the choice, they had already, like, seeded the media with, like, reports of, like, how the ratings were bad for these other much more popular guest host options like mm-hmm. LeVar Burton. But anyways, just kind of taking a step back, when he first guest hosted, he felt the need to, like, give a weird preamble where he's like, hey, sorry, Ken Jennings, like, canceled last minute. So, guys, I'm just doing this to help with a scheduling issue. I know it's a little embarrassing since I'm no host, but, you know, the show must go on.
It's like when you ask a model their origin story, it's like, oh, well, you know, I was just going with my friend to an audition.
Exactly.
And they chose me because I just happened to be there. It's total coincidence.
Right. So it turns out Ken Jennings, like, had a scheduling conflict that was easy to overcome. Like, and everybody who worked on the show was like, yeah, no, we'll work with Ken, whatever his schedule says. And he was like, no, I don't think we can do it. We better. So just, like, that's how he, like, forced his foot into the door to get in there. He has, like, people are now pointing out that he's said multiple times on this podcast he used to have that he wasn't a trivia guy.
that's
what he told Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings was like Alex Trebek's pick for, like, Alex Trebek left him, like, his cufflinks.
Yeah, and that was pretty crazy, like, leaving him cufflinks in the will.
Yeah, like, he was basically like, this is my chosen successor.
Right.
This last season was his first season as the EP of the show. So he has, like, it's not like he has, like, a great relationship with the people on Jeopardy. And in fact, he's been sued as part of a suit for just discrimination and harassment So one suit, this is all from a report by The Ringer. That's a pretty great read that people should go check out. We'll put it in the footnotes. But so this woman who was one of the models on Price is Right in 2010, he had recently laid off several models. And then she went to him and said, hey, I am actually pregnant, so I'm going to need some time off. And he said, go figure. I fire five girls. What are the odds? Which she understood to mean that he would have fired her if he had known she was going to get pregnant. And then after giving birth, she learned that her contract had been terminated. And then he also just like he made them wear shorter dresses on The Price is Right. Talks a lot about like women's appearances in a very like cavalier and like 1960s, 1950s, like just shitty misogynistic way on his podcast. And people also said, like, from the start of him taking over for The Price is Right as the EP, he was trying to become the host of The Price is Right. This is just like
So that's his MO.
Yeah, that's his MO. He's just always wanted to be the host on TV. I'm like,
it's funny because it's like the entire, like, this expectation that someone be a game show host, which is kind of like this very 1960s ideal of, you know, like the handsome, inoffensive guy who you don't know his personal life because that was like impossible to do in the back in the day. It's like we're still expecting someone to be that, but not realizing like all the weird retrograde baggage that's going to obviously come along with anyone who has that persona now. Like, of course, this guy's a weirdo.
And then,
life's goal was to be a game show. Like, what do you think he's going to be like?
And now, like, everyone's like, they found some remarks on his old podcast, too, where he's like, he's just saying some even like worse shit, was calling like women. Like, what was it? The co-host or one of the presenters on the show that he was referring to, like, is it like a booth hoe or something?
Yeah, he called her a booth hoe. And I don't know the world of game shows enough to know what he's even implying. They called her a booth-stitute.
I mean, there's like booth babes. Like, that's kind of a thing at any like sort of tech comic book gamer thing.
Oh, like a con, like a convention, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They used to hire like, you know, hot girls to be the face of whatever, to attract people to whatever booth they had. I took that as him trying to do humor, but being, again, like this weird sort of Seacrest kind of guy where they can't really do humor convincingly because they're in that weird
host bot mode.
Yeah, the host bot mode. Exactly. Yeah.
And just the thing he falls back on are like criticizing women's appearances. He used the R word for somebody with a disability. Yeah, kept calling this woman a booth slut and a booth hoe. Made fun of a woman's weight in horrifying terms, said she was so giant she wouldn't be able to fit out the door, and huskadoo and fat and not good. And then just has like complained about people being on food stamps and unemployment benefits. Just like all
what
around.
Else do you fucking need? He was like saying some other stuff like people with big noses are Jewish. Like,
yes.
He's got, it's almost like, yo, what more does he need to say to make this clear that he should not be the fucking host? He's like, I don't know, I got some more podcasts that didn't come out you can listen to if the case isn't made enough. But then on top of that, too, you saw someone did a poll that showed that like by a huge margin, more people wanted LeVar Burton over Mike Richards. Like, it didn't even matter. It's like even people were like, this is who we'd like or prefer. And he was still like barely making any kind of waves in like a poll of like actual Jeopardy fans.
Yeah.
But
let me just read from the Ringer article about just what the process was like. They say Richards, the guy who ultimately chose himself for the job, controlled nearly everything about Jeopardy's most recent season. Sources say this led to a myriad of conflicts of interest. Quote, he was the one rehearsing and giving directions to all the guest hosts who may not have realized they were competing with him for the job. He could influence the promotion of those shows and the respective guest hosts. He had personal relationships with the executives involved who had entrusted the show to him a year before. And then it's not hard to see the structural advantages that such a candidate would have. Would he vigorously advocate for the strongest guest host as an EP normally would in that situation? Huh.
Well, yeah, what is he going to the higher ups there and going, look, I got to tell you, you know, I'm the EP, LeVar, bro. He crapped the bed, huh? That was bad. That was woof. I don't think we can do it. You know who would be sick is me.
Hey, Ken, you know what people love? You know, you just go out there, you just rattle off a few racial slurs. They love it. They eat it up. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's that's our audience here at Jeopardy. I think you should really
go
into
I want you to check out where I was just kind of crushing it.
Or like sabotaging them.
Random. That's what it was actually called, even though it was a supposedly behind the scenes of the Price is Right podcast.
Which everyone was clamoring for.
Right. He called it Random D-U-M-B because that was his comedy talk radio show from his days at Pepperdine.
Oh my God. You went to Pepperdine?
He also, as we've talked about, scheduled LeVar Burton, who was like it was either Ken Jennings or LeVar Burton, like in most people's hearts. That's what people wanted to see. People have pointed out that he aired LeVar Burton's episodes in the midst of Summer Olympics, which caused many of them to be preempted on NBC affiliate stations. And then somehow, even though the ratings for that shouldn't have been put on par with like non-Olympics episodes of Jeopardy, somehow it got out that the ratings were really bad when LeVar Burton was on. So
I feel like this article was so extensive and brutal that I almost sort of questioned it after a while. I was like, oh my God, next they're going to be like, oh, and he kicks his dog. He doesn't wash his hands after he goes to the bathroom. He's always double dipping in the salsa bowl. Like they were going brutal.
Right. He eats his toenails. I mean, where does it end with this guy, honestly?
Yeah.
But wow, it's like, it's so much like it, but he's like, he's just being an American, you know, like how you gerrymander the fuck out of a district to win. He was just gerrymandering the fuck out of whatever he had. He was at control of enough levers that he could make shit look a certain way and then be like, hey, it's me and Mayim Bialik, who don't look at her past comments on whether or not she believes her kids should be vaccinated. But anyway, here we go.
I think that's why, like, this is such an interesting read, is because it is, like, how decision-making works at a high level.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
Straight slavery.
Yeah. Just the like, kind of getting his foothold in by announcing himself as a candidate, being like, hey, but I'm withdrawing myself from the, selection process because I don't want to, like, tilt the scale because I am obviously a serious candidate. I'm reading this book about Robert Moses that's 1,000 pages, so I'm still reading it and will be for the next 3 years. But they talk about how he would get projects approved by basically starting them, even though he didn't have the funding for it. And then once they were started, people wouldn't like go back on it because you already like had the foot in the door. You already had like the momentum started. And like once a project is started, it's much harder for people to like pump the brakes and put the brakes on it. So just like getting himself like mentioned as a candidate, that was like the thing that he had to do to like get the momentum started. And then after that, he was just able to fucking control all the levers and just shamelessly exploit the situation. Hey, did you guys watch any of his
hosting? No.
No, I haven't seen it for a while. I haven't. It's one of those shows that I have on my DVR that I just binge at certain times, and it's been a while.
So when Bob Barker left Price is Right, he tried out to be the host of Price is Right. And at that time, he wasn't powerful enough to choose himself. So they ended up going with Drew Carey. But one of the producers who was part of the selection process at the time said, he knew all the right words to say, but he did not bring anything special personality or performance-wise to the test show. His performance was compared to that of an eager student performing in a college show and putting on his best impersonation of what he thinks a game show host is.
Oh.
Which is brutal, but if you watch him as the Jeopardy host, it is like so spot on. That's exactly what it is. It's like, every word is equally enthusiastic, and I love Jeopardy!
Yeah.
And it's just...
Well, I mean, that's like the kind of crap that we've been wanting from these people for years, where it's just like we want this like eager, like you said, like a Seacrest bot. Like we want this squeaky clean person who has a hollow hole at the center of their personality. And And it's kind of poetic that someone would try to be that for like half of their adult life. And then when he shows up, people are like, man, this guy sucks.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Dude, what a scathing review, though. My God.
That is so brutal. Now, to be fair, he did, and who knows if this was because he didn't select him, but that producer was immediately fired after the selection process to make room for Richards. So, wow. You know, he might have had certain feelings about that.
I also enjoyed that when he got sued when he was with The Price is Right, it was like the two named people in the lawsuit were Michael Richards, this guy, no relation to Kramer, and Adam Sandler, no relation to the actor.
Right. Comedy luminaries.
Wow, this is so... Yeah. Okay, so as you were talking, I was trying to find a video of him hosting The Price is Right, but in looking for Mike Richards' Price is Right host, I found this video from 5 months ago on ABC, which just reeks of fucking propaganda. It's ABC News saying, Jeopardy interim host scores rave reviews. Mm. And it's Mike Richards, and you're like, oh man, so this has been a fucking just campaign.
Oh yeah,
just man. Months in the making. Oof. Who is Anyways. Mike Richards? He's a fucking robot.
Cypher.
Yeah.
All right, and then real quick, we do want to talk about, you know, we don't always mention when new movies are announced, but there's this new movie coming that I think we're all pretty excited about. It stars Emily Blunt as a Pinkerton agent. So if you don't know...
Wait, from when? Like a modern Pinkerton?
No. So she is the first woman Pinkerton agent.
And we're acting like that's like a yes queen girl boss moment?
She uh-huh. was like the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of people of who rat fuck civil rights leaders.
Yeah. So if people don't know what the Pinkerton Agency is, it was founded in the mid-1800s. And it was basically like a hired army for tycoons to bust strikes and terrorize unions, which included hurling dynamite at peaceful labor protests, engaging in a 12-hour gunfight with striking workers during a strike at a Carnegie steel mill.
The Homestead strike.
Yeah, they still have them. Like, they were a few months or like, I don't know, less than a year ago, they were advertising their services to like Facebook and Google saying that they would send undercover Pinkertons to Silicon Valley coffee shops to like spy on people that were leaking information from Facebook and Google. Yeah.
What's so amazing is the one kind of mega company that we do know has used them in Europe is Amazon. And you'll never guess what massive media conglomerate has decided to buy the rights to this movie.
Amazon?
It is Amazon.
Yeah.
I also just like this because, you know, Emily Blunt is married to John Krasinski, who makes like pro-CIA propaganda for Amazon Studios. So there's like kind of this nice little group of people just doing the bidding of capitalism, violence on behalf of capitalism.
She also played like the relatable, what was she in Sicario? She was like either a relatable DEA agent or like a relatable ICE agent or a relatable FBI person. I can't remember which it was, but yeah, she's good. When you want to put like a nice face on something, you just send in Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting that Amazon is bankrolling a movie that is going to put a girl boss, yes queen face on Pinkertons.
Do we know when? I mean, like, I feel like the only thing that gave them any positive press was when they thwarted this dude from assassinating Abraham Lincoln. Like, yeah. That was like,
so
their
that
first
was the
good
thing that
deed
put them on the,
that like sort
yeah.
of let people, that's softened people on Pinkertons. It's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, they foiled an assassination plot. And then they also just fucked up a bunch of people who were striking for better wages.
Like, but then, I mean, Weezer wrote a really good album about them, too, which was cool.
That's right. I mean, Rivers Cuomo's always been pro-Pinkerton.
Yeah.
The President Lincoln account is also mainly based on the accounts of a guy named, let me see if I can get this right, Alan Pinkerton, who was, quote, known to be an exaggerator. Mm. And also was the founder of the Pinkerton
agency.
A little bit of a early Mike Richards.
The bar for like an exaggerator in the 19th century had to be really high.
Really fucking high.
Because that was,
I mean, swing for the fences when there's no way to fucking verify anything.
The kings of the world were like explorers who were just like basically professional liars. They'd be like, yeah, I went to a place where people walk on one leg and they have one eyeball and it's on their ass. And people were like, thank you, Marco Polo. You are our king now.
Right. Yeah. P.T. Barnum. And then you had like, Thomas Edison, like electrocuting an elephant and be like, see, this is why the other guy's thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I guess what's the film called?
Let me see if I can find it.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter, but
it's going to be called like American Detective or some shit.
Right.
Pinkerton. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. Right.
I don't know.
It is being
EP'd by 2024 President Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm. So, you know,
that's real. He's like, producing it.
He's producing it, yeah.
Dude, wait till we see The Rock Jim ticket. Jim from the it's The Rock and Jim from The Office ticket.
Yeah.
And
I guess like, he was in Jungle Cruise with her, so maybe they're like BFFs now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe there's something steamier there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture The Rock ever having sex.
Oh, that's the only thing I can picture.
That's so weird.
It's like this weird thing. I've been talking to a neurologist. Time, I'm like, I can't envision anything in my mind except for The Rock just fucking smashing. Yeah.
He has to do like the people's cunnilingus in the middle
right,
of it.
Right, exactly. And then I've hit rock bottom emotionally.
Hey, all right. Well, Vince, it's been a pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
I mean, obviously, I am the film and culture, senior film and culture writer at UpRocks, always on UpRocks. And, you know, if you like listening to my voice, I've also got the Frotcast. And we do a Sopranos podcast called Pod Yourself a Gun, which is available wherever podcasts are sold. And that's it. Vince Mancini on Twitter. And
many recognizable guests. If you listen to this show, too.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm. Our guests are handsome and distinguished.
I got to do the Pine Barrens episode, which was...
Oh, I'm so jealous. I remember when you said that, I was like, they fucked me. That's my favorite episode.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying, Vince?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was like... I had to find a tweet that wasn't like a video one, but I thought this was... pretty good. It's from someone I don't follow, but I think I started after this. M. Nate Shyamalan says, can't believe the only political options in America are we have to catch and spread a deadly virus to defeat the satanic pedophile elite, or we spent 9 months trying to make the bus $5 cheaper and we did not succeed.
Nah. Nailed it.
Loved that one.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check out the other show, 420 Day Fiancé, with Sophia Alexandra. A couple tweets I like. First one is from at Javrar, R-A-W-R, saying February 22nd, 2022, which is 2-22-2022, falls on a Tuesday. So we will be able to call it Tuesday. Which is really keeping me going. What a low bar, but I get you. And then another one, Doug J. Balloon, New York Times pitch bot, tweeted, we wanted to make sense of the new scientific paper on the origins of COVID-19. So we talked to some QAnon enthusiasts at a Sbarro on Staten Island.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Brian Lynch tweeted, the Supreme Court is just a regular court, but with sour cream. And Amy... at Lola Nui tweeted, my body is not a temple, it's a spirit Halloween. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you will like, as well as a link to where you can buy tickets for the live show.
Yep.
The live stream, which you can watch from the comfort of your home. Miles, what song are we sending people to go check out?
Okay, this feels appropriate. This is like a Black and Knees crossover. George Benson, who does the song Breezin'. And I think a lot of people, if you're into yacht rock, you've heard this like instrumental track. It's very easy listening. Well, this is a cover by a Japanese artist named Masayoshi Takanaka. And it's his cover of Breezin'. So it's just got this like, it's a familiar, easy listening track, but it feels like, I say this a lot, like it feels like a video game menu from like an early PlayStation game or something, where you can play it. It's just stimulating enough, but also will set a nice mood and keep you relaxed. So take this one into your weekend. It's Breezin' by Masayoshi Takanaka.
All right, we are going to link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.